Shouldn't have pulled it in.
For the last 6 or 7.
Here we begin a sugya tonight, which is a very much a bracha sugya. Unlike some of the other sugyas that we've been doing in the second bracha, this is very much a bracha sugya. But as we already highlighted when we almost started the parak, that all the brachas themselves under the Rabbanan, many of the rules that govern those brachas are rooted in dinim deraisa. And we've already seen this a little bit. Sometimes we don't know to determine some of the details of Hilchos Bar Parades. We had to take a little bit of a digression to Hilchos Oila. Last week we spoke a little bit about Hilchos Yom Kippurim that impacts on Hilchos Brachas. So 2 weeks ago, time and time again, we see that there is a very much a relationship between the Dinim Derabbanan Brachas and the Dinim Deraisa that they're patterned after. So this is a perfect example of that, because the Sugya actually begins on Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Beis with a starts off with the brachas topic, then he quickly jumps to Yom Kippur, then quickly moves into oral, and then comes back to brachas. So we spoke a little bit about this in the past. Let's go back to where the sugya starts on the Lamed Vav Beis. So we're going to pick it up with pilpulate. So at the end of the skinny lines, 2 lines from the end of where the skinny lines end, pilpulate. The person eats peppers. So here we're not talking about the green peppers, the red peppers, and the peppers that we put in salads. We're talking about mamish peppers. But the peppers that are the source of the crushed up pepper. So I think they call them peppercorns, whatever the official name is. But if you're interested in Googling where these things grow, so they actually grow on something that almost like resembles a vine or a tree or something. And they really appear to be like a quasi-fruit. So now obviously we don't eat them in the normal state of being whole fruits. We grind them up and eat them as pepper, which is what Chazal did as well. But here the Gemara is addressing the question, what would it then be if a person eats pepper? So we're not yet sure what we're talking about. We're talking about eating ground up pepper. We're talking about eating the raw fruits of the peppercorn. So what's the din? So people, Rav Sheshe Amar Shehakol, Rav Amar Lo Klum. So Rav Sheshe says that the bracha Shehakol, notwithstanding the fact that it grows on the ground, it grows on a tree, but the bracha would only be Shehakol. And Rava says you don't make any bracha whatsoever. Why does Rava say there's no bracha? The other Rava Tamei, Rava goes to Shita. So the Amar Rava, Kas Pupule Biyom de Kippure Potur, Kas Em Gvila Biyom de Kippure Potur. If a person eats raw pepper on Yom Kippur, he would be Potur. If a person eats the raw ginger on Yom Kippur, he would be Potur. And the reason being, we spoke a lot about this in the previous year, that according to some, this is just a regular din of Shaloka Derech Achila, which according to many opinions is a Potur even on Yom Kippur. And even according to the Chiddush of the Shekhar Sayyid that we spoke a lot about last week, that Shalok Derech Achila is not a Potur in Yom Kippur, but when the Chavtza itself is not Royal Achila, so that would be a Potur even in Yom Kippur. The Shekhar Sayyid's Chiddush was that if you eat normal food, but you're eating it in an abnormal fashion, that would be Chayav in a Torah in Yom Kippur. But if the Chavtza of the food itself is problematic, so then that's nothing. So eating pepper, the pepper is mamish gornish. Nobody, no normal person would eat this pepper. Mitamach pepper biatzmo, it's considered to be something that's not royal achila. And therefore everybody agrees you would be potter. So Rava says, just as you're potter on Yom Kippur, so too you're in a sense potter in brachas. You don't make any bracha whatsoever. So he asks the Gemara, the second of the white lines, Meis, where we have a kasha. Hay Rabbi Meir Oimer. Mimash b'shenema v'ralta bar loso espirio. Ein yodesh eitz machalhu. But the Torah presents us the parish of Orla, so the Torah says, Verata Orlaso es Pirio, a fruit. So everybody knows a fruit comes from a fruit tree. So why does the Torah say, Eitz Machol? Why does the Torah have to spell that, Eitz Machol? Lamatab lo Eitz Machol, Lahavi Eitzatam Eitzo Pirio Shove. This is coming to include a type of a fruit, of a kind of a tree that for some reason I wouldn't have thought is Chayav in Orla. Why I wouldn't have thought that? Hopefully to be determined as the Sugya unravels. But at this point, there would have been some kind of hamamina that this particular fruit, this particular tree would be exempt from orla. And what is that? The ezuzat pilpulin. That refers to the pilpels, that the peppercorns are in fact chayim in orla. Tam eitzah per yashav sounds a little bit like an esrog, like the Gemara says that similar drasha by an esrog. But the bottom line is that pilpulin are chayim in orla. L'lamencha shepilpulin chayim orla. And l'lamencha, and by the way, this also teaches us she'ein eretzol chasei reklum. Eretzol has everything in it. It even has peppercorns in it. Shenema Eretzol lo b'skidus tochabal lechem lo sechzar kobal. Good. Now that we've learned a little bit about the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, we know that peppers are chayiv in orla, now we have a problem. Because if peppers are chayiv in orla, that means that achila. Baraltam lo yachel. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat orla. So the Torah is describing peppers as included in the parish of orla. So if they're chayiv in orla, so then why aren't they chayiv in Yom Kippur? And if you're chayiv eating them in Yom Kippur, why don't you make a bracha on them? So there seems to be a contradiction. There are 3 areas of halacha now that are all revolving around the same point. Is this edible? It's not edible. So Hilchos Brachos is dictating that it's not edible. Therefore, the bracha is nothing. Hilchos Yom Kippur is dictating it's not edible, therefore you're not chayav. But Hilchos Orla is staring us in the face that says it is edible, and therefore it's also Mishum Orla. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, no, very simple. The Gemara says, Lokash Abretif Tav Yaveshta. That we're talking about different cases, Lagamre. We're talking about whether it's you're eating the moist peppers or whether you're eating the dried up, chopped up pepper. So if you're eating the moist peppers, you take a pepper right off the tree and you eat it, so that is considered to be derech achila, and therefore there's an issur of oral on it, and therefore there would be chayav and Yom Kippur for that, and therefore there would be a bracha that's made under a tifta. Whereas if it's dried up pepper and you're just using it as a spice, so then people don't eat spices. You know, the last time we sat down and had a jar of pepper alone. Nobody eats a ground of pepper by itself. You eat it with other things. You eat it as a spice and other foods, but nobody eats it alone. And therefore, if the Meshuggah would eat it, he wouldn't be chayav for Yom Kippur. The Meshuggah would eat it, he wouldn't have to recite a bracha on it. So when all the dust settles, that's the answer. If it's retifta, if it's a moist, eating it as a moist, yummy, delicious fruit, so then it's treated as food, and therefore you chayav in Yom Kippur, chayav in Orla, and chayav in brachas. So we would just read the Gemara just at face value. And I would stop and I'd ask, okay, so now we're writing a Torah Mesorah Brachas book to give out to the little kids. I want to know, what bracha do I make on the moist peppers? I go to my pepper corn and a tree in the backyard, and yank off a couple of fruits off it, and I eat it. What bracha do I make? That the fact that I do make a bracha, that's the Farshah Gemara. What bracha is it? Well, it doesn't say, but it should be fairly obvious.
Eitz.
For sure you make eitz on it. Why? Give me a raya brewery, make eitz.
It's
chayv and orla. That's like the dead giveaway. That's like the double portion. If it's chayv and orla, so how can you even begin to negotiate any other bracha? So it sounds like a no-brainer that the correct bracha, you might not have to bother spelling that, it's obvious, the correct bracha on these moist, juicy, yummy, delicious peppercorns would be a bar praise. Until we open up the Rambam. So we take a look at the Rambam, Hinuchas Brachas. So the Rambam Hinuchas Brachas, for a ches aloch hazayim. So the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Berachas Aloch HaZayin. So Berachas Aloch HaZayin, the Rambam tells us Hapilpulin VaZangvil. We'll get to the Zangvil a little bit later. Hapilpulin VaZangvil Bizman Shem Retuvin. If they're moist, Mevarech Aleim Chila Borei Pri HaAdama. What? Borei Pri HaAdama. Aval Yevesh Entun Berachas Aloch HaZayin. Obviously, we eat them dried up. As a spice, then there's no bracha either before. At the end, Rudeshen Tavla Vein and Ochel, because they're not food, they're just simply spices. And the Rambam just completes the halacha by telling us, V'chein Ochel She'en Ru'in L'chilu Mashin She'en Ru'in L'shtia Ein Atudim Bracha L'fem L'chareb. Any inedible food or not drinkable liquid, there's no bracha either before or afterwards. So this Rambam is very startling. Like, why in the world would one recite anything but a bar pra'etz on these seemingly obvious fruit? If it's chayv and orla, why would we recite any different bracha on it? So we're not the first ones to raise this question. The Kesef Mishnah already, those who have the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes at the end of Halacha Zayin, the Kosav HaRamach. See at the end of the paragraph, the Kosav HaRamach. Tema, Kevin the Pilpul and Mikri Eitz, v'chayv orla, lama imavarach, b'rituv and barbara Eitz. I come to show this. Apilik, why asks the Ramach, why in the world don't you recite a barbara Eitz? V'yesh Shloima, says the Kesef Mishnah. She'af ha'pishu eitz, me'achad lo nate le'inshi le'ochlon k'mo she'hein, roi le'shanash b'chosu k'tzas. V'chakech matzosi le'arash v'shakosu k'em b'tshuva. So the Kesef Mishnah first guesses his own answer to defend the Rambam, and then he realizes that already the tshuva is a rashba, the rashba preceded this answer for hundreds of years. What's the answer, says the Kesef Mishnah, says the rashba? It happens to be a rule in the brachas, that if you have something that halachically is a fruit, it's really a fruit. But the goal of this tree was not really to produce this fruit. You've planted the tree for other agendas, for other reasons. So there happens to be a quirk in Hilchos Brachos that anytime you have a fruit that grows in a tree, that the primary goal was not this particular fruit, to highlight the fact that this is not the real, this is not the mainstay of this tree, Chazal lowered the bracha a little bit. They lowered the rung of the bracha a little bit. They knocked it down to the bracha of Bar Pri HaAdama. So again, it's a fruit. It's objectively a fruit. What's the proof positive that it's a fruit? Hilchos Orla. But in terms of Hilchos Brachos Midrabbanan, you know, we've been working with this assumption called the Tikkun Rabbani Keni Deraisa Tikkun. Whatever the standard is on Halacha Deraisa, that's what's going to impact Hilchos Brachos. So not exactly, not 100%. But this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Again, there's a precedent for this later on in the para. That sometimes Chazal load the bracha a little bit if it's something that's low, not the Inshadai to the Kach. So the Kesav Mishnah performed the Rashba's guessing the stomach. That's what the Ram's Kavanah is. That even though people do plant the tree to eat this peppers, but not to eat them as peppers, to eat them as crushed up peppers, to have them on your food or something, that's what people do it. So since to eat it as a normal fruit, you can't say Shlok Dech Achila, but it's not the Ika Kavanah Adam in the planting of the tree, and therefore the bracha is going to dip down and drop to the bracha Bar Pei Adama. So in a sense, the answer to the Rambam Sheet is a quirk in Hilchos Brachos. So Hilchos Orla hasn't changed, Hilchos Brachos changes a little bit. But notwithstanding the Rashba's answer, the Ritva has an entirely different answer. The Ritva suggests that maybe there's something else that's going on here. And let's go back to the Gemara for a minute, back to Lamed Vav and Beis, back to the Orla story. The mayor says, I would have made a case that people are not chayv in Orla. Now, between you and me, I don't even know what that case is yet. I'm not even sure why I would have thought that people are not chayv in Orla. After all, it's growing on a tree, so why would I think it's not chayv in Orla? To be determined. But for some reason, I would have thought that the regular rules of Hilchos Orla don't apply to the peppercorns. Kamash v'lan, apostle, eitz machal. The gezeiras hakasa, that it applies. No, who's going to tell me the chakira? Named that Hakira. The Havamina was that there shouldn't be Orlo on the peppers. Kamash blood exists across that there is. Who's going to tell me? How do you understand it? One of two ways.
Do we learn that the Xeris Kassav teaches that the peppers is like a fruit? Or do we say the peppers is not like a fruit, but there's a Xeris Kassav that treats it like
perfect,
a fruit for Orlo
purpose? Perfect, Steve. I'm right out of the Hakira book 101, right? That how do you understand this type of old drush, this type of old drush? Do we say that the Havamina is fundamentally wrong? It means we had this misunderstanding. We thought this is not really a fruit for whatever reason. I have no idea why. But for some reason, we thought that the Orla doesn't apply to not a fruit. Kamash v'lan, that you're wrong, and it really is a fruit. And therefore, once we have the Xerxes HaKosa, that's a fruit. It's a pre l'chol dini atayra, l'chol dini atayra, l'chol dini d'rabbanan. It's a pre l'chol dini atayra, l'chol davar, v'davar mahalocha. What do I say now? That the Havamin is taka better than the Maskana. Namely, the Havamin is right. It's taka not chayv in Orla. It really shouldn't have been chayv in Orla. It doesn't have the makings of a tree. Whatever those characteristics are that's lacking, I don't know yet what those characteristics are, but whatever those characteristics are, it's lacking. And therefore, I would have thought, and rightfully so, that the pepper should not be chayv in Orla. Comes the Gzeres HaKosav and says, you're right, itaka shouldn't be, v'yafo b'chayv, it's still going to be chatzakor, it's a yaitz b'kal, it's still chayv in Orla. My nafkamina, it looks Orla very, very little. My nafkamina looks brachas, all the difference in the world. If you go down the first route, so then it's not a pre, even after the exam. I'm sorry, if you go down the first route, after the exam, of it is a pre, and therefore that will reflect itself in Bar Preit, which is exactly what the Ramach said. That was the Ramach's tying against the Rambam. And the Rambam argues the Ritva would respond back now that it's a Chiddush HaTorah, it's not a fruit, and therefore orally, yes, but Bar Preit, no. Where do we have Kim Atis identical Shaila? We spoke about this already in two different aspects of Hilchos Brachos and Peiros. That this same Shiloh keeps on coming up again. We had it by the seeds, we had it by the... But related to the seeds, the same sugya. But the peels and the seeds, right? The peels and the seeds, how do you know these things are chayv in Orla? So if these things are included from S, remember that drush of S atofel leperio, we weren't sure what's the drush of S mean. Does S mean that it's not really a fruit, but it's still chayv? Or does S mean that the Torah is redefining what a fruit means? So again, Hilchos Orla doesn't make much of a difference, but it becomes a huge nafkamin in terms of Hilchos Brachos. So that exact same machloikis that we had back in the days with the Tosos and the Rashba, with the Rush back a few weeks ago, is what's resurfacing according to the Ritva. That is the root of the machloikis, the Ram and the Ramach, the way the Ritva is presenting the Shiloh. So at the end of the day, we have two different biurim in terms of what the shit is, where the seemingly strange shit this Ram came from. Half of the Gemara say it's chayv in Orla, and yet the brachas bar pei adama. So one is almost like a chos brachas dikas svara. That's not the incha dait tekachi. That was the Rashba, and the Ritva is a chos orla dikas svara. That yes, it's chayv in Orla, but not b'toris pre b'toris yesekosav.
According to the Ritva, then according to the Rama, according to the Ritva, why is it adama? Why not chanakol?
Because the mice is growing in the ground. I mean, it is growing in the ground. It's no worse than a carrot. So it's growing in the ground. But maybe we can come up with a third beer and change the Rambam. Something radically different from what the Rishonim is saying. The common denominator between the Rashi and the Ritva is that Hilchos Orla remains constant. At the end of the day, if you ask the Rambam, if you call the Rambam, is there Orla on Pilpul? And the answer would be, yes. Could one argue not? The Gemara would argue not the Gemara. So there was one of the Gedolei Chabad, wrote a very famous sefer on Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and Sukkah, called the Sefer Kapos Tamarim. He wrote three different kutrasim. One was called the Yom Teruah on Masechet Rosh Hashanah, rightfully so. One was called the Tosefes Yom Kippurim on Yuma, and one was called the Kapos Tamarim on Sukkah. So colloquially, it all became known that Kapos Tamarim was the biggest of all three, so it became the one big sefer called the Kapos Tamarim. So, but this particular piece, I think, is in the Kapos Tamarim, in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Lamed Hey, where I remember the first time I ever heard of a Kapos Tamarim was in Mar Shakol, where I was after 10th grade, and we were learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah that summer, and Rabbi Cohen, quoted from the Sefer Yom Teruah. The Yom Teruah was the Rosh Hashanah Sefer, that trilogy of Svarim. So he quotes him from the Yom Teruah. So I remember I asked him, Rabbi, after Shia, I said, Rabbi, I never heard of him. I said, who is the Yom Teruah exactly? He happened to be the Svarim Sharab, the Yom Teruah. So Rabbi Cohen said to me, I don't know who he was either, he said, but one thing I can tell you, Rabbi Kivega wrote footnotes on the bottom of the Yom Teruah, there the Ha'aris from Rabbi Kivega. I'll never forget where Cohen said, he said, if Rabbi Kivega put footnotes on it, it's a good book, it's a good sefer. So Adayim was that, it's a great sefer. So the sefer Kapos Tamarim, so he offers a unique approach to Shittas HaRabba. Not going in the footsteps of the Rashba and the Ritva, against the Rishat, new beer, an interesting beer in the Shittas HaRabba. Goes back to the Gemara, back for a third time back to the same Gemara. Meisvei, hi Rabbi Meir, right there. The Gemara is the Kasha from Rabbi Meir. I already have problems with that. I didn't even read the Brice, I already have problems with that. What's my problems? Meisvei, hi Rabbi Meir, right there. What does that imply? Hi Rabbi Meir, right there. What does that imply? Nobody else said it. The Gemara doesn't quote a Stam Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't even quote a Stam Brisa. Not a Stam Tosefta. A Brisa, the Haley, the Tana, but he was still one Tana. Setting up his Tabarim, how do you know even Pasek Rav Meir? Maybe Hayy Rav Meir, Oymer, Lafuk, everybody else. Taka didn't say it that way. And guess what? Setting up his Tabarim, who said that we Paskin, that there's Orla on Pilpul? Go show me in the Ram. I don't know. I don't think the Ram quotes this thing. Says the Kapos Tamarim. You know why the Ram doesn't quote it? Because it's not true. Because there is no oral law on Pilpulin. And since we pass the law against Rabbi Meir, there's no oral law on Pilpulin. Therefore, it's clearly not a Priha Eitz. If it's not a Priha Eitz, then you're not going to make a Bar Priha Eitz on it. What are you going to make by default? The Bracha Bar Priha Eitz, because the mice grows in the ground. So this whole Shachmata and the Gemara was only interested in proving for Rabbi Meir Shita that Pilpulin are edible. Nobody argued with Rabbi Meir on that. Everybody agrees Pilpulin are theoretically edible. The Machloek is Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanu was, is it a Priya Eitz or not? So Rabbi Meir had this special drush, this razzle-dazzle drush on the Rabbos of Pilpulin, and apparently everybody else, by default, didn't have this drush. Everyone else must have disagreed. So the Gemara here is not so focusing on, is it really truly Chayv and Oral? That's not really the point. The real agenda of the Gemara is just to simply prove whether it's edible or not. If it's inedible, like the dried spices, then you put in Yom Kippur and there's no bracha at all. If it's edible, then the bracha, there is going to be a bracha. What that bracha is going to be, well, whatever you think the din luchas orla is. If you're a mayor person, then it's going to be a eitz. If you're a rabbanah person, that's going to be by default a hadama. So says that.
But if we made the dimyan early on that orla was going to be the determining factor whether something is ochel, so why would we say according to the Kapos Tamarim that it's even a hadama?
No, orla is just a proof. If it's orla, then for sure it's ochel. But if it's not orla, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not ochel. It's like reverse converse, reverse, something like that, okay? So all the Gemara's proof was, you want to tell me a story that people is not ochel altogether, that's crazy, that can't be. Rabbi Meir disproves you. Now, that doesn't mean we pass like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who applied orla to it, is for sure a disproof of what Rabbi just said. And therefore, the Gemara had to say, have her tifta habi aveshta. But it could be when all the dust settles, we don't even follow Rabbi Meir, we follow the Chachamim, who agree that it's food, but disagree and say that it's not oil. It's not oil, it's not bar parades. So the Kapos Tamarim really had a lot of chedushim in this beer. First of all, he created for us machlekes that we don't have explicit in Shas. The Gemara never really spells out that anybody disagrees with Rabbi Meir. This Kapos Tamarim is guessing in the Lashon HaBraisa. And then he's going one step further and saying, not only did the Chum disagree, but we don't even pass like Rabbi Meir, which is, again, really a chiddush of a chiddush. So according to the Kabbalist Tamarim, it really behooves us to understand, well, why did the Chum disagree with Rabbi Meir? What is it about Pilpulim that's not an eitz according to the Chachamim? Now the truth is, we can really ask this question even according to Rabbi Meir, but we just have to reformulate it a little bit. According to Rabbi Meir, you could pose the same question, why you need a pasuk? Everyone seems to agree the starting point is Pilpulim are not Chayv and Orla. It's just that Rabbi Meir holds as a pasuk that's Bechayv them, and the Kabbalist Tamarim is claiming that the Chachamim hold there is no such pasuk. And everybody else claims that the Chum and the Mayor agree to one another, but everybody agrees that you need a pasuk. Everybody agrees the starting point was, it's not Chayv and Orla, it's not, why not? What was it about the Pilpulim that didn't make it Chayv and Orla in the first place? Isn't it obvious Chayv and Orla? What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes here? So the Rishonim in Masechah Sukkah, the same sugya appears in Nachman Minhei in Sukkah. So the Rishonim have two different biurim as to what exactly is the characteristic of Pilpulim that would have potentially misled somebody to think that's not Chayv and Orla, or maybe conclusively Tacha leads us to believe it's not Chayv and Orla. So Rashi throws a curveball at us in Sukkah Daf Lamed Hey. Rashi writes, because the Pilpulim grows on very, very low bushes, and therefore I would have thought maybe that's not a tree. So Kamash Balon, Rabbi Meir, Chacham, whatever you think the Kamash Balon is. So keep that in the back burner, because that's going to come back to us when we discuss about other kinds of fruits and other kinds of berries, about what brach you make, the different kinds of berries, so that low, high bush thing may become a factor. But according to Rashi, that was the issue. So Tyson, the spot, says they never heard of such a thing. Tyson says low bushes, high bushes, tall bushes, what's the difference? Well, who cares? So Tyson says that's b'chlal not the factor, b'chlal not the issue. Tyson says, what's the issue? Tyson says that there was a good svar to say that there's no orla on the peppers, because the fundamental goal of the peppers is to eat them as spices, not really to eat them in the fruit state. So that would have been the svar to say, even if you choose to eat them in the fruit state, maybe it's potter. So machlekes, the nuance of machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, what the issue was, what the chiddush of Rabbi Meir is, why the necessity of exists a kosov, and why the chum disagree, either because the peppers grow too low, or because the peppers are basically eaten primarily in the state of crushed up the spices, not as fruit. So I would have had a svara, according to Chum, the conclusion to say that's not chai. I gave a shiur for some of the college age girls in the community have a weekly shiur or something. So they asked a couple of weeks ago to give a shiur about sugis and bracha. So we went through a couple of some strange foods and different shilas and some strange foods. So I was talking a little bit about berries. So I was talking about blueberries that if you look in the poskim from Europe, from Shabur's day, so they describe the bracha on blueberries being hadama, and then today poskim about the blueberries are eights. So the answer is because they grow differently. That they grow, the blueberries in Europe grow on much lower bushes, whereas the blueberries in America grow on much higher trees. So I was just saying, so like, as of, this is what I've read in the books, I had absolutely no idea whether anyone knew what the story was. So there was a woman there who was born in Russia. So after the shiur, so she said to me, it's 100% true, she said she remembers as a little girl, she remembers the blueberries with mama, she would go like, have to bend down and pluck off the blueberries off these low bushes. So back in Russia. So she said those are not the blueberries that are described in the books in America today. So Baruch Hashem. So in case you're interested, what the bracha of blueberries back in Russia was in the 1800s. Anyway, back to that story. So the bottom line is we have three birurim shittos around them. So the starting point of the sugi is that sometimes you make no bracha on this on the peppers. Sometimes you do make a bracha. What is that bracha? Pashas is it's our eight. That's what the Ramach says. That's what Adrisham, the Rosh, others say, and the Ram takes everybody else on. The Ram says, no, it's not true. The Ram says it's Adama. Why does the Ram say it's Adama? Either because the Rashba said, well, not the Inche Daita the Kach, it's not the normal way of planting it for, or the Ritva says that it's exerts a custom in Orla, but it's not really called the fruit. And according to the Kapit Tabarim, that according to Ramei would be our eights, but we don't even pass the Ramei altogether. So three different Yerubid Asara. So that's the first of today's spices. Today's Shia is a spices Shia. So now we move on to the next spice of Chazal. And that's Zangvila. So continue where we left off on Lamed Vav on the days. It's Amalei Rabbanan LeMereimar. the very, very end. It's 3, 6, 7, the end of the eighth line. Okay, the end of the eighth, middle line, I'm sorry. Amrilay Rabbanan Lemereimar. So the Rabbanan said Lemereimar. Who's Mereimar? So the Mereimar was, the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia that Ravina and Ravashi were so far off that they were the ends of the Gemara. They were the ones who put together the final touches on the Gemara. That was the end of the period of the Amorai. So the Rambam quotes, I think this was from Rabbi Geras of Ashuragon, that when the Gemara says that Ravina and Ravashi were mamish the end, it means Ravina and Ravashi v'tamideyem. It means not literally them. It's them and all the Tamidim together. That was the last door. That was the end of the period of the Amorai. So the Rambam writes that the mamish, the last two people who really, 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 really got the mamish, the last word in, was Marbar of Ashi and Mereimar. They were mamish, the last of the Amorim. After that was the period of the Savarim, though they edited a little bit, put a little touch-up job in certain lines here and there. But the Tkufas HaGemara came to an end with Ravina of Ashi and Tamideyam, and Mereimar was the last of those Tamidim. So Amar Rabbanan the Mereimar. So the question was posed to Mereimar. Rabbi just told us before that if a person ate either the peppers and Yom Kippur's potter, or if the person ate Zangvila's ginger. So if a person eats the ginger, he's potter, presumably because that's not called normal eating. So frek the Rabbanan the Mereimar, v'ha'amar Rabbi, or according to some, v'ha'amar Ravina, whatever you think yourselves, ha'hum l'sur da'asim ibei hundui sharia u'mavarech alei borei pri ha'adoma. If you have humlusa, so humlusa, Rashi in Maseches Yuma gives you a little bit more. Rashi here just says literuya balaz. You have to know your old French. Is that word ring a bell? In new French, no, but ring a bell. Okay. So Rashi in Maseches Yuma describes it as it's basically ginger that's chopped up, mixed up with honey and some kind of a special dish or something. So this humlusa, the asim is Bei Hindui. It would come from Bei Hindui. Who is Bei Hindui? The land of
India.
Pasha's the Indian, right? Hindu. Pasha's from India. The spices, well, the spice trade. Okay, so this dish that would come from Bei Hindui, Sharia, so it's permissible to eat, even though it was produced by the Goyim. So one would have thought there would have been a kashrus issue involved. So again, that's not really a sugya right now, but that'll be hopefully mentioned in the next sugya, that there are some potential kashrus issues involved in this. Number one, there may be issues of bishalachim involved, and there may be issues involved of if they're preparing it in tray for kalim. So that's going to be a whole other topic as to why this particular food is kosher without hashkacha. That's in fact what it's saying. Umevarchelei bar pri adama. And in addition, the correct bracha is bar pri adama. So it's basically spice. It's basically chopped up ginger. So how could the Gemara say that you eat ginger and Yom Kippur and potter? And here we're saying that because okay, enjoy the chopped up ginger and recite a bar pri adama on it. So the Gemara says no problem, no kasha. Same pismut, same sort as I said before. If it's mamish dried up ginger, mamish rubbish dried up like spices, a guy opens up a container of ginger and starts eating ginger, chama sugar crazy. There's no bracha, and you're not having your kippah for that. That's mamish enough. That's not a chila. But if it's a moist kind of a ginger, so then that is considered to be in the realm of normal eating, and therefore the correct bracha would be a bore priya adama. Okay, so this seems to be at first glance a little bit easier, no pun intended, to digest for us to understand, because after all, obviously doesn't grow ginger, doesn't grow on a tree. So we're not in the peppercorn issue. This is just simply things growing in the ground. So the only thing you have to determine is it normal or is it not normal? So if it's dried up, then normal people don't eat it, so it's used as a spice. If it's moist and wet, so then some people would eat it. It's normal to eat it, and therefore the bracha would be a bar pri adama. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer that the bracha is a bar pri adama. Not so fast, not so pashut. So we have to learn a sugya on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in order to appreciate why, in fact, the bracha on this ginger concoction is, in fact, the bar pri adama. So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara reads the following Shaila. It's the first one line is Yoshua. It's about 15 lines from the top or so. Omer lehalmei Rabbanan leRava. One of the Chachamim asked Rava the following Shaila. Trima mahu. What's the bracha on Trima? So just in case you feel bad, you're not sure what trim is, don't feel too bad. Lohava adaita de Rav Michael Amalei. He had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. He didn't know what tree. He never. Rav sat in the base medrash. He didn't know all the delicacies, the new eating fads of trim. He wasn't sure what it was. So finally, the Gemara concluded what exactly this what the trima was, and finally the Gemara, a few lines down, says v'hilchasa tamir v'avdinu trima v'arachalei abar pereitz my tamir v'osayu kamik t'meikara. So trima is something that's made out of dates. And the bracha remains above the parades. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So what exactly is this trima? So Rashi fills you in what it was. Trima mahu. So the Rashi, that's 6 or 7 lines into the skinny lines, trima mahu. Mama bracha alav. V'shem trima kol dover ha-kosush k'tsas ve'ena merusak. Says Rashi, you took a fruit. This case happens to be a date, but it could be a fig, it could be a pomegranate, it could be an apple, anything. And you began to chop it up. But you only began to chop it up, you didn't finish it. Marusak. Marusak means mamish chopped up the smashed the reason that it's not. So it's kososh ktsas, v'ena marusak, and that's the maskanas of Gemara that you recited Bore Per Eitzan, it could be Mosaio Kamik, it still basically hasn't, it really hasn't been changed. So the bracha remains the same. What is the obvious application of Rashi? That if you took a date or a fruit or anything else and you did what to it, you mamish smashed the smithereens, and the bracha's going to change. Right, that's very clear from Rashi. The bracha disappears. It only retains the original bracha, never because he didn't quite finish the job. That's Rashi Shita. If you take a look at the Rambam, in Perek Ches Halacha Daled, so the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Daled is in the middle of the Rambam. The Rambam starts with about tamarim shemiyachon. The Rambam writes about tamarim shemiyachon biyado. A person begins to chop up the dates. The hotziga rinishalem. You take out the pits. The asoyon kemo isa, and you make it like a what? Like a dough. What is the Rambam describing? The Rambam's describing not the Rashi's quasi half chopped up story. The Rambam says you made it so mushy, so squashed, it's totally, it doesn't look like a date anymore, it looks like a powdery, like a dough. Says the Rambam, no bro. Mevorach aleihem b'tchila b'ayit l'basav b'racha achas b'ein shalosh. The bracha remains the same, both the bracha b'shayin and the bracha charona, b'ayit, and if it's a date, shivus aminim, then you recite the bracha of b'ein shalosh, v'al michi aleit, etc. So we have b'chalekis Rashi and the Rambam about the nuances of what exactly this treatment is. Everybody agrees that trim has something to do with chopping things up. Everyone agrees that the trim of Chazal, the bracha remains the same. It's not clear, just the Metzias HaDvarim is practically what happened here. Was it completely destroyed, like the Rambam says? And Afak B'chein to make a Barbeitz? Or according to Rashi, the only reason why we make a Barbeitz is because it was partially destroyed. How do we paskin in Halacha this one? This is a tricky one, the Halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Rambam, not surprising. So the Rambam writes that the Rambam is really right. The Endless Lamito is partially like the Rambam. The Gemara doesn't say a difference, a little chop, a little. So the Rambam writes a very, very interesting stuff. The Rambam writes that the Rambam's right. You should make a bird praise. Oh, what? You have nothing to lose by making shahakol. So you have nothing to lose by following Rashi, because with the evidence, make shahakol something anyway, I'd say. So therefore, the Rambam writes, it's better to follow Rashi, even though probably the equivalent is like the Rambam. Very, very strange psak of the Rambam. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the later Achronim who say, qualify this psak, and say, yes, it's true. We follow Ashkenazim. If I didn't follow the Shulchan Aruch, follow the Rambam, Mika Eitz, and all of this kind of stuff. But the Mishnah Berurah says Ashkenazim follow this Rambam, but only if it's been crushed to the point where it lost Tzuras HaPri. If it still maintains Tzuras HaPri, still looks like the original food, so then, even according to Rashi, we're going to follow making the original bracha on it. So that's the pshar of the Mishnah Berurah. So you want to know, at what point do we say that it's so chopped that it moves the bracha? Lack of Tzuras HaPri. And this got the whole ball rolling about what bracha make an applesauce, what bracha make a peanut butter. So this is really an Eitzan HaDamashah. What bracha make a potato kugel, what bracha make a potato latke. Anything and everything that has to do with chopping up foods and making new brachas all revolves around this machlekes ration around about Terima. So hopefully Mitzvah, we get enough of the ches, we'll come back to this machlekes barichos. But we want to just analyze from our vantage point. So the Gemara says that the humusa is Rashi's enumer, is chopped up ginger. Chopped up ginger is if it's soft, if it's still so soft, if it's still wet, still moist, then the bracha is a bar pri adama. Why? But it's chopped up. It's completely chopped up. So bishlama, according to the Rambam, who says it completely pulverizing something, chopping up lama adama, it doesn't impact the brachas at all. So you understand why the humlosa, why the ginger retains its original bracha. But Rash l'shitas was a pill. Because Rashi in the Daf Lamed Ches that says when you take fruits, you take vegetables, you completely demolish them, so they taka do lose the bracha. The only time Trima retains the bracha because it's not completely demolished, the ginger is totally kososh lagamre. It's chopped up lagamre. So why in the world do you make a barfi adama on the ginger? According to Shittas Rashi. So the Trumas Hadeshen writes that the Bira Dov is very simple. It says, B'med Dibar Mamurim, the chopping of something potentially makes it lose its bracha, according to Rashi at least, Kuntaram doesn't exist, according to Rashi, that something that wasn't made, wasn't planted specifically for the purpose of chopping up, say, tamarim. It's very normal to eat tamarim as whole tamarim. Once in a while, a guy wants to make a date jelly, date jam or something. So we'll chop up the date butter, we'll chop up the dates or something. So then Rashi says, if it's completely pulverized, that loses the bracha. But something that nobody eats in the regular state, it's always made al das to be chopped up. That's the goal. You take it, you chop it up, you pulverize, you smash it, you demolish it, and then you eat it in a different form. But that was daita b'kach from day one. The tree was planted for that intention. So that's humusa. That's ginger. That's the zangavila. Even Rashi maintains the bracha is a bar pir adama. Or in the case of a fruit, would be a bar pir.
The honey doesn't mess with it a little bit?
What?
The honey.
It's the honey, right. So the honey, if anything, would only change the bracha to shahakol, but that's al tikir v'tofel, but the Gemara says not that way. The Achronim has the kasha, why is the honey the ikar? But lamais, the Gemara says it's adama. So this is a very fundamental yisoy from the Trumas Hadeshen. So again, this is, in the world of the Sfardim, none of this matters, because for the Sfardim, for the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, you could chop anything to smithereens, it still retains the original bracha. Calls by it liquefied. If you make it into a soup, into a juice, that's a whole other sukkah, but not for now. But if it's still a salad, just that it's been chopped up into a million pieces, it remains the original bracha under all circumstances. But even within the world of Rashi, it says sometimes the bracha changes. That's only something that is sometimes eaten whole, sometimes eaten pulverized. But if it's always eaten, al-das pulverizing it, then for sure the bracha remains the same. The bracha is not impacted by the pulver. Pulverizing is like a sheena. It's like taking away. It's like ruining the food, so to speak. But if that's the darkness of b'kach to eat it, so you didn't ruin anything. So of course that's the original bracha. Based on this yesod, by the way, it should appear very, very obvious what the theoretical correct bracha on chocolate should be.
Should be heights.
Should be heights. There's no reason for it not to be heights. It grows on trees. It's pulverized, it's chopped, it's crushed, it's cooked, it's chadam. You do a trillion things to it, but tachlis, that was the plan from day one. When they're planting the cocoa beans, that's what they're... Nobody's planting cocoa beans in order to eat plain cocoa beans. They're planting it in order to sell it to make Hershey's kisses out of it. So by the time it's chocolate, that was what it was supposed to be all along. So that's better than Shriva. According to the Shulchan, according to the Rambam, Avadya Mikha Eitzan, not even a Shaila according to the Rambam, Mikha Eitzan Shulchan. But even according to Rashi, who says that you could sometimes make on super duper crushed, beyond the point of Shriva crushing, you make charcoal. But the Trumas Hadeshen qualified that Rashi based on the sugya of the Zangvila, the Humusas. So there's no reason why Shochet should be anything but bird parades. But Lamaisa, that's not the bird
parades. It's hard to make heights on it?
Nobody makes heights on it.
But the Rav mentioned Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah. So the oil is nutty to make shahakol and chocolate. Why? We'll find out as the sugya develops a little bit more.
Does it matter how much cocoa is in the chocolate?
The cocoa is the ikar, the cocoa is still the ikar.
More sugar than chocolate.
There's a lot of sugar.
Probably
most
Hershey's.
Hershey's, yeah. Hershey's,
maybe.
Okay.
What are you
eating? Okay.
Dark.
Yeah.
All right, follow the European Belgian chocolate. Whatever it is. The bottom line is nobody makes, nobody that I know, but this makes an 8-cent chocolate. So we have to figure out why not. But Pasha's acquainted with what we're saying it should be. Some of you may remember the famous story I told about my daughter and the chocolate, and the chocolate-covered raisins. Okay, it's been a couple of years, I have to repeat the story. So, Rosh Shlomo Zalman had a famous psach about chocolate-covered raisins. Rosh Shlomo Zalman said that you have to make an eighth house to the raisins. Then what, you're going to make a shahakol because of the chocolate also? He said, you really yield to the eighth, because we all know in the heart of hearts that chocolate's really an eighth. No one really understands why. No one knows why we make chocolate and chocolate. It doesn't make any sense. Shlomo Zalman says, Zelzai, you're eating a chocolate bar, make shakal, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. But you're making your eats already on the raisins, and then you can turn around and make shakal on the shakal, I'm sure bracha will tell. So Shlomo Zalman paskin, the chocolate covered raisins, the bracha is, it's plain, simple eats, that's it, nothing more, nothing less. Rav Moshe disagrees. Moshe says, no. Moshe said, there's no ikun, there's no tafel, because you like both of them. People like the raisins, like the chocolate equally. Unless they happen to like the chocolate much, much more. I personally only make shahakal on chocolate covered anything because I like the chocolate. I don't even know what's inside. I don't even care what's inside. I see the chocolate. I eat it for the chocolate. So, but Rav Moshe said, for those people who eat it for both, so there's not an issue of ikur v'tafel here. So Rav Moshe said, therefore you have to make two brachas. You make an eitz on the raisin and shahakal and chocolate. Rav Moshe wasn't worried about the shahakal and chocolate. Rav Moshe said, for whatever reason, we pass the chocolate shahakal, zolzayin and shahakal, and you have to make shahakal on it. So the famous difference of opinion between the Kabbalah and from America to Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Zalman could possibly make eights of the Shlomo covered raisin, that's it, nothing else. And Rav Moshe said you make two brachas. So in the brachas be, in America, of course, only the Pesach of Rav Moshe quoted in the Torah Masorah booklets. So when my daughter was in the brachas be years ago, so they asked her, what's the bracha on chocolate covered raisins? So she knew what it said in the book. She knew it was her eights and shachal. So she said her eights, and for some reason she hesitated. And she was about to, and it was techte dibra or not, but she didn't get out the next word out of a mouth shakal, and they said, wrong, and she lost. She came home hysterical crying. And I said, what happened? She said, I told them I was going to say her eights and shakal, they didn't let me finish. I said, wait a second, what did you say? She said, her eights. That's all I said, but I was going to shakal. I said, go back tomorrow and tell them that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the paskin, that the correct bracha is right, and what you said was right. So she went back, and she told him that. And you know what the response was? The brachas be in America follows what it says in the brachas be in America books. It doesn't care, it couldn't care less what Shlomo Zalman. The brachas be in Shema Chesed, you can follow Shlomo Zalman. So the American Nimri program like a Mishan Shalom Kavanah.
So someone's eating chocolate almonds and they want the almonds more than the chocolate.
So to say, if you have a mamish really good tough guy, really, really wants almonds, but never there's some chocolate on it. Never. I haven't met such a big tzaddik. The guy's really going after the almonds because the almonds, it's the good, it's the protein unsaturated fat.
So the bison what's in the middle.
He's got such great, you know, he really, really wants the almonds because the doctor told him that's a good source of fat. It's not cholesterol, right? He's really excited with that. But never there's chocolate on it. Yeah, okay. But basically, back to that story. So again, so we saw a little bit about the spices as mentioned in the Gemara. So we spoke a little bit about the pilpili spices. The issue is whether eights are dumb, and there are three sheets in the Rama. We spoke a little bit about the ginger, about that the Gemara is pretty clear it should be adama, but we're not quite sure how that fits into the trima according to Shittas Rashi. But now there's a third food that doesn't make its appearance in the Gemara. And there's probably a good reason why it doesn't make its appearance in the Gemara, because I don't think the Chachmei Gemara ever saw this particular food. But the Rishonim for sure had it. Many, depending on which Rishonim, where they lived, had it. And had what to say about it. So the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Hei. We'll read the Rambam together and you tell what the Rambam is describing. Perek Ches Halacha Hei. Hakonim. Kind of like pieces of wood, almost. Hakonim, hamisukim, yeah. Sweet konim. I think we can buy for you what it is already.
Boxers.
Sugar cane. Hakonim, hamisukim. Shesochten osan, you squeeze them out. Umavashlin memehen, and you cook up the juice, the liquid that comes out of the sugar cane. Achi yikveh, you cook it up so you evaporate the water part, the liquid part, and now all you're left is the sugary part, the white part. V'yid mil melach. It looks like salt. Like sugar, looks like salt. So the Rambam is describing sugar cane. Kol ha'odim amru. Says the Rambam that all the Goyim, most of the Goyim said, shemavarch labar pri adama. So, said that the correct bracha on the sugar is bar pri adama. I eat spoonful of sugar. It's adama. Umitzas amru. Some guy even said, bare pri ha'etz. It grows the tree. Sugar cane grows on a tree. V'chein amru. And some said, shamotzei sasan kanim mivarech bar pri adama. So not only did they discuss the eating of the sugar proper after it's been already been, in a sense, cooked up, But they also discussed the person who's just sucking on a sugar cane, a raw sugar cane. So the Rambam makes reference to the two opinions floating around Rishonim and the Gaonim before the Rambam, the Eitzah Adama. The Ani Oimer, says the Rambam, I personally think, she ain't a pre. This is not a pre altogether. The chlal, sugar and sugar is not a fruit. The ain mevorachim of Ela Shahakol, he says the correct bracha is neither bar breaks nor bar pi adama, rather shahakol. And now the Rambam continues. Lo yiyad dvash elu hakonim shenishtane de'or, godo bedvash tamarim shelo nishtane. Mevorachim of shahakol. Says the Rambam, that eating of this sugar, which has really undergone a significant change, it's been cooked up and it looks very, very different. It used to be this little, piece of wood or sugar. Now it's little white particles. It looks very, very different than sucking what it really came out of when it first started. So madoch dvash tamarim, honey, date honey, that didn't undergo any shinoi. The Gemara says the Farish and the Flam and the Ches. The Gemara says that you make a brach on date honey. The Gemara says the bracha is shahakol, because it was nishtana, because it was changed, it was turned into a liquid. So if you make a shahakol on date honey, which underwent a very, very minuscule shinoi, almost no shinoi, how much more so you make shahakol on the sugar that went through a tremendous shinoi? I can't be wrong. So Ram confused us. Ram was trying to sell his sheet to us that you make shahakol on sugar, but he seems to be coming at it from two different angles. First, the Rambam saying that ain't a pre. So if I was around, I would have stopped right then and there. She ain't a pre. If it's not a pre, it's not a pre. It's this pre. This pre. I don't. That's not. It's not a fruit. I said it's some extract of wood, of cane, but that's not a fruit. So if it's not a fruit, then ain't a bracha of al shachol. And then the Rambam's adding on more. And the Rambam's saying that. And by the way, another reason why you don't make anything more than shako, because of the principle of shinoi. So what exactly is the Rambam driving? The Rambam's saying almost like multiple things. So if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, Vani Aymish Ein Zepri, it's the third line into the Kesef Mishnah, Allah Hei. So the Rambam first said it's not a pre. The Kevin Shekain, Hamaitet Konama Elu, Enim Avarach Lashachal. So first the Rambam's talking about the guy who's sucking on sugar cane. Everybody ever suck on sugar cane? Anyone see sugar cane? Like real sugar cane? The real McCoy? They sell on the Heights. You know, we go to 185th and St. Nicholas, you could buy a stick of sugar cane. I remember I once had a roommate, he used to like to, he would always buy, I don't know, it's right up the, I don't know where it came from, South America. He would always buy, and he would bring back the dorm. We just serve it. It's supposed to be like, it's like eating sugar. Very, very healthy. Very good for you. Very good for the teeth. But now it's like the guy who sit around on 185th Street sucking on the sugar cane. So the Rambam says, if a person is simply sucking on the sugar cane, you can't make anything more than shahakal. You know what? It's not a pre. A pre. An apple is a pre. An orange is a pre. A carrot is a pre. Adama. It's not a pre. This is some junk, some gook, some sap or something inside the cane. It's not a pre altogether. And then the Rambam is saying, the afilu, it's gets special meaning to the Rambam, the afilu mayinu morim, modim shupri. Even, the Rambam is saying, even if you want to argue with me and say, for the guy who's eating in the Heights, sucking on the raw sugar cane, you want to tie it to eights, which the Rambam personally thinks is wrong, the meitim also makon revrach vrach eights, even if he's all saying that that's right, like those get owned, but the Rambam thinks are wrong, lefachos besukar, if you're eating sugar, processed sugar, Hayetin and Levrach Shachal, for the fee, it shouldn't be any more than the Dvash. So the reason why the Rambam mixed in two different reasons, he's negating everybody before him thought it's a eight, it's a dog, whatever it is. The Rambam saying everybody's wrong. It's Shachal for two reasons. Depending on how you're eating it. If you're sucking it, then it's Shachal because it's not a fruit altogether. And even if you think somehow, some in your imagination, think that sugar is a fruit, but if it wants it's the Shtan Lagamre, so then the correct bracha goes down to being Shachal. So the end of Kesef Mishnah quotes a Tur who disagrees. The Tur says that maybe it's not the same as Dvash Tamarim. It says, Eilu HaKonim, maybe, and he's not sure, back and forth, about the, he's telling you about why people are planting sugar canes. Then the Kesef Mishnah has an interesting comment about the Torah. So he says that the Torah never saw sugarcane in his life. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, true, the Torah grew up half his life in Germany. He never saw sugarcane in Germany. But the Torah did move to Spain in the end of his life. Anyone's got a Google for me later where the sugarcanes grow in Spain? I don't know. They definitely grew where the Kesef Mishnah saw them. He definitely saw them in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam definitely had them in Egypt. No question about it. I don't know how far north the sugar canes grow. I can't tell you. But the bottom line is the Rambam took on the whole world and claimed that Shahakal is the bracha. So again, the two reasons the Rambam said Shahakal is the bracha. One is because of it's not a pre altogether. And number two, it's not a, it's so nishtana. So nishtana? Let's not forget, what was the Rambam sheet in general about Mishtana?
It doesn't matter how much Mishtana,
it still retains the original bracha. So, no pun intended, one Mishtana, this from the other Mishtana.
That was a physical...
You mentioned liquid in here, I think so it turns into like a separate...
Yeah, it
unit.
Must be, this is so Mishtana. Even the Rambam agrees, Yesh Gvul B'Dover. But if something is so radically different, it used to look like a piece of wood with some sap inside it, and now it looks like a teaspoon of salt, i.e. what we call sugar... There's no connection, living a dead between the two. Ad kedekach, even the Rambam agrees, the bracha goes down to shakal. This Rambam may be the source for why we make a shakal on what?
Chocolate.
On chocolate. Because, look at it, you know, next time you go to Hershey Park, where they show you that, you know, take a little ride around how to make chocolate, it starts out with the cocoa beans. Go look at a cocoa bean and look at a Hershey's chocolate bar. And tell me that one came from the other. It's so nishtan, it's so legamre. Maybe the buck stops here, even according to the Shittas. So again, so the bottom line is the Rambam is mechmir that the bracha shahakal, that's the minhag olam. Olam is knowing that we make shahakal on sugar, no matter what, whether we suck sugar cane, whether we eat sugar, we make shahakal. The Mishnah Bura raises the question that maybe this whole discussion between Rambam and the olam is a moot shaila for us. You know why? Because they were talking about sugar cane. Mishnah Berurah lived in Eastern Europe. There were no sugar cane.
Sugar beets.
Oh, they got sugar from a totally different source. It's one of the strange things in nature that the exact same sugar grows in two radically different ways. I don't know. Anyone know anything else that, like that? Like, it's not like in some places oranges grow as vegetables. It's a very bizarre thing. It's the same sugar. That sugar in America, I forgot what the numbers are. It's like 70% or 1/3%. I forgot already what the numbers are, but it's... They're like interchangeable, these two sugars. Even though they come, one grows on a tree in the middle of the tropics, and one grows underground in the middle of Eastern Europe. They produce the identical thing. Very, very modern thing. Very strange thing. But the Mishnah Berurah says, a sugar beet. Said, how can you say that's not a tree? It looks like a beet. It's like borscht, it looks like a salad. It's not a fruit, of course it's a fruit. So the svar of the Rambam to say that sugar grown in a sugar cane is somehow not a gor pareitz. That I can hear. But how could that svar carry over to sugar from a sugar beet? So says Mishnah Berurah, you're right. The only reason we can defend our practice, at least in Europe, of also making shahakal on sugar, is which reason of the Rambam? The second reason of the Rambam. Nobody's eating raw sugar beets today. We're eating sugar that's been processed, cooked, and removed from the sugar beets. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the minhag ha'olam is, we're so shahakal on sugar, we're so convinced that shahakal is the correct bracha on sugar, not only sugar cane, not only sucking sugar cane, not only processing sugar cane, but even the processing of sugar beets, everything shahakal. Sugar is just too different. You look at sugar and you don't think of sugar as something that grew in the ground. It doesn't have that healthy quality of things that grow in the ground. It's very, very different sugar. And therefore, the bottom line is, Mishnah Berurah writes, that the minhag ha'olam is out of here, mazeh, people make shahakal on sugar. Everybody makes shahakal on sugar. It's funny because sometimes, like, when I find myself in a situation where I'm looking for a bracha and making something, hey, I'm not sure I have to make a bracha, I'm looking for a vada shahakal, so the easiest thing to grab is some sugar or something, or candy, which is the mice, all sugar. So it's a strange thing to grab for vada shahakal, because according to most of the garden, it wasn't a shahakal. But the nimla v'gom, the minhag ha'olam, has become clear, like the Rambam, like the Rambam set the reason, and the correct bracha shahakal. So the bottom line is, we have these three different kind of, in a sense, spices. Two of them appear in the Gemara, the third appears in the Rishonim. What's the correct bracha on the peppers? What's the correct bracha on the ginger? What's the correct bracha on the sugar? So each one of them touches on a different aspect relating to those brachas.
You wouldn't apply as far, like we said, with the ginger, that it was grown for that purpose, and therefore retains the re-priyadama. You wouldn't apply that to
how
sugar?
But apparently, it's apparently, I don't know what the ginger hummus it was, but it was still a little bit recognizable as ginger, where this is so legambre different.
That's probably some of the sour.